First reading can be found on page 903, the book of Hosea, chapter 6. Come, let us return to the Lord. He has torn us to pieces, but he will heal us. He has injured us, but he will bind up our wounds. After 2 days, he will revive us. On the third day, he will restore us, that we may live in his presence. Let us acknowledge the Lord. Let us press on to acknowledge him. As surely as the sun rises, he will appear. He will come to us like the winter rains, like the spring rains that water the earth. What can I do with you, Ephraim? What can I do with you, Judah? Your love is like the morning mist, like the early dew that disappears. Therefore I cut you in pieces with my prophets. I killed you with the words of my mouth. My judgments flashed like lightning upon you. For I desire mercy, not sacrifice, and acknowledgement of God rather than burnt offerings. This is the word of the Lord. Our second reading this morning can be found on page 1227 of the Church Bibles and is taken from 1 John chapter 3, verses 16 to 24. This is how we know what love is. Jesus Christ laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for our brothers. If anyone has material possessions and sees his brother in need, but has no pity on him, how can the love of God be in him? Dear children, let us not love with words or tongue, but with actions and in truth. This then is how we know that we belong to the truth, and how we set our hearts at rest in his presence, whenever our hearts condemn us. For God is greater than our hearts, and he knows everything. Dear friends, if our hearts do not condemn us, we have confidence before God and receive from him anything we ask, because we obey his commands and do what pleases him. And this is his commandment, to believe in the name of his Son, Jesus Christ, and to love one another as he commanded us. Those who obey his commands live in him, and he in them. And this is how we know that he lives in us. We know it by the Spirit he gave us. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
A young boy was... Still there. A young boy was sent to the corner store by his mother to buy a loaf of bread, and he was gone much longer than it should have taken him. And when he finally returned, his mother asked, "Well, where have you been? I've been worried sick about you." "Well," he answered, "there was a little boy who had broken his bike and was crying, so I stopped to help him." "I didn't know you knew anything about fixing bikes," his mum said. "Oh, I don't," he replied. "I just stayed there and cried with him." Well, can you also remember the story of Androcles and the lion? He was a runaway slave, and as he hid in one of the caves, the lion came into the cave limping badly, and Androcles skillfully removed the thorn from the lion's paw. And later, when Androcles is captured and he's put in a cage to be devoured by lions, Only the lion that is sent in is that same lion from whom Androcles removed the thorn. So instead of devouring him, the lion is affectionate to him. So, blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. Well, what does it mean? Does it mean that if you're good to everybody else will be good to you? Surely we're not to be merciful to others to get something back. We're to be merciful because God is merciful. Daniel 9 verse 9 says, "The Lord our God is merciful and forgiving, even though we have rebelled against him." Well, John last week reminded us about where we'd got to from last year. And those first four Beatitudes deal with how we are before God. And the second four now deal with how we are before our brothers and sisters and our attitudes to those around us. So if we are humble, mourning, meek and hungry for God's righteousness, we will be thankful for God's grace in our lives. And so we will show mercy. So what do we understand by this word mercy? Is it the same as compassion? But surely it's more than just sentimental feelings. Feeling sorry for someone, being sympathetic, is a good quality. But it doesn't express the proper depth that Jesus is referring to. Indeed, James 2, verses 15 and 16 teaches us that when we see someone in need and only feel sorry for them, but do nothing to help them, well, we've really done no good at all. Mercy is not just helpful deeds. Some people equate mercy with kindness. And although being kind to one another is clearly important, it too doesn't express the true meaning of mercy. Mercy is also related to grace. Often in the Bible, those two words mean the same thing: God's goodness, which has been shown to mankind. But within the New Testament particularly, there's a distinction between the meaning of mercy and grace. Grace is taking away the guilt that is over us. God comes, we don't deserve it, we cannot merit it, but God comes and he lifts away our guilt that is ours by right. He takes it away from us. But mercy is the compassion of God. That when he looks upon us, it motivates him to lift that guilt from us. Grace is what saves you. Mercy is what sustains you. Grace cures the disease. Mercy eliminates the pain. Grace offers pardon from our sins, and mercy offers relief from the punishment. And mercy isn't justice either. Justice is getting what we deserve. We talk in legal circles about placing ourselves on the mercy of the court. In other words, we know we deserve a certain punishment, but we're hoping that there will be a relaxing of the penalty. But even that doesn't explain fully the depth of mercy as Jesus describes it. But what about mercy and forgiveness? The mercy that Jesus is speaking of in Matthew 5, verse 7, is more than just forgiveness. Mercy is distinctly different from forgiveness, because God is merciful even when we don't sin, just as we can be merciful to those who have never done anything bad against us. God's mercy doesn't just forgive our failures and our faults, but it reaches deep into all our weaknesses and need. God's attitude towards us is merciful. Well, in the New Testament, the word eleos is used, or translated, as mercy. Also, the word eleinon is also used as merciful. And that word is full of great meaning. It's used to describe an attribute of God. God is said to be, Ephesians 2 verse 4, rich in mercy. Titus 3 verse 5 tells us that when we are saved by his mercy, we are saved by his mercy. And Peter tells us in 1 Peter 1, 3, that in his great mercy, he has given us new birth into a living hope. Eleos. At its root, it means to wash over. At that time, the word was used in the context of whitewashing a wall, or wiping out an impurity, or cancelling a debt. Mercy goes beyond sympathy to empathy. It's love in action. You not only wash out the deed that was done against you, but you find a way to help the person. Mercy is an action, not a reaction. That reading we heard from 1 John chapter 3. Forgiveness can be too weak unless we understand that we're not only to wipe out the injury done to us by another, but we're also there to help them to recover. It's one thing to say you forgive. It's another thing to become actively involved in God's mercy. And of course, a classic example of someone showing mercy is the parable of the Good Samaritan.
An expert in the law, Moses, stood up and asked Jesus a question. Teacher, what must I do to have eternal life? Jesus answered, what is written in the scriptures? How do you understand them? The man replied, the scriptures say, love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, strength, and mind. They also say, love your neighbors as much as you love yourself. Jesus said, you have given the right answer. If you do this, you will have eternal life. But the man wanted to show that he knew what he was talking about. So he asked Jesus, who are my neighbors? Jesus replied, as a man was going down from Jerusalem to Jericho, God was attacked. Samaria then came traveling along that road. When he saw the man, he felt sorry for him and went over to him. He treated his wounds with olive oil and wine and bandaged them. Then he put him on his own donkey and took him to an inn where is taking over the man. If you spend more than this on him, I will pay you when I return. Then Jesus asked, which one of these three people was a real neighbor to the man who was beaten up by robbers? The teacher answered, the one who showed pity. Jesus said, go and do the same.
Mercy demands action. Mercy is more than a feeling. The Good Samaritan looked and he saw the wounds. And he didn't just want to dress them, he did dress them. He saw the man had injuries. And he didn't just know that he should pick him up and take him to the inn, he did it. The Lord Jesus Christ says to us today, go and do likewise. John 3:16 doesn't say, for God so loved the world that whoever believes in his Son will have everlasting life. It says, for God so loved the world that he gave, he sent his Son. And 1 John 4 verse 9 repeats that thought. This is how God showed his love among us. He sent his one and only Son into the world that we might have life. This is love. Not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son as an atoning sacrifice for our sins. By action, he demonstrated mercy, his eleos, the whitewashing of our sins with his blood. The Hebrew word for mercy is hesed, which means to get inside someone's skin, to look at where they view life and feel what they are experiencing, to move in and act on the behalf of one who's hurting. And this is exactly what Jesus did when he chose to leave the comfort and glory of heaven to become one of us. So there is mercy in grace. There's mercy in compassion. There's mercy in forgiveness. But the verse is, blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. And people have looked at that verse and said, well, you must be merciful if God's going to be merciful to you. Or you must forgive others if you are to be forgiven. But the idea surely is this. In that by performing acts of mercy, we will show ourselves to be forgiven. That's the point, that the person who's been shown mercy by God, the person who knows what it's like to taste forgiveness, how can they be anything but forgiving? How can they be anything but merciful to those who are in the same predicament? Our compassion, our love for the lost, our love for the poor is out of a heart that has been forgiven. Out of a heart that knows the grace and the mercy and the peace of God. So when we've been the object of God's salvation, we will show mercy to those around us. When we help the helpless, when we lift the downtrodden, when we heal the brokenhearted. Matthew 9, verses 11 to 13 says, when the Pharisees saw this, they asked his disciples, why does your teacher eat with tax collectors and sinners? On hearing this, Jesus said, it is not the healthy who need a doctor, but the sick. But go and learn what this means. I desire mercy, not sacrifice. And those words, of course, came from that reading from Hosea. Hosea 6, verse 6. And when you look at verses 4 and 6 in Hosea, you see that those two words highlighted are actually the same Hebrew word, hesed. Both the word love and the word mercy are the same Hebrew word. So the point is, why would they use the same Hebrew word, but we've translated them slightly differently? Well, God wants our love to last, to be ongoing. God does not want our love for him to be fickle, to be hot and cold. The mercy God desires is faithful love. Mercy is faithful love. Micah 6 verse 8 says, "What does the Lord require of you? To act justly and to love mercy, and to walk humbly with your God." So the Beatitudes point us through a transformation that can take place within us. Being merciful is not a single act of compassion or forgiveness. Mercy is a motivation of the heart. God wants everything we do to be done with mercy, with a faithful love. A love that does not fail. If we love God, we prove it through the love we give. Jesus said, "Blessed are the merciful, for they will be shown mercy." He was teaching that mercy to men brings mercy from God, not mercy from men. Our selfish society often asks only one question: what's in it for me? Well, Jesus wants us to ask, "Lord, what's in it for you? How can I meet their needs right where they are? What acts of compassion can I do?" Mercy is meeting people's needs wherever their needs are, in whatever situation we find ourselves. It's not simply feeling compassion, but showing compassion. Not only sympathizing, but offering a helping hand as well. The true character of mercy is in giving. Giving compassion, giving help, giving time, giving money, giving of ourselves, and giving forgiveness. If we desire, as Paul puts it, to brightly reflect the glory of the Lord and become more and more like him and reflect his glory even more, we must never give up in showing his mercy. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for the mercy that you have shown to us. And Lord, we ask that you will help us to respond to that by being merciful. Help us to be aware of the situations when we can do something. Help us to be aware that we can give compassion, that we can give forgiveness, that we can show kindness in an active way. In Jesus' name we ask. Amen.